Hey everybody, Ferran Wozniak, host of the IASIS podcast. I'm here again with the, if I may say it, the legendary Ben Lord. Ben, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Woz. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I
think it's been 2 years now since we talked. I think it was November of 2022 last time we spoke. You're our first repeat guest on the podcast, and we appreciate you having us on. Last time we had you on, you were the most recent recipient of the Will Dockin Scholarship. But this time around, we're talking Advanced Windows Forensics. You are an instructor with the Advanced Windows Forensics team. So we're going to go into a little bit of that. Now I know the IASIS changed the name of the course from what WFE to Advanced, or I should say AWFE, correct?
Yeah. So that actually was initiated by our team because we wanted to emphasize, like, this is not like the first class you should take. This is not like a prep class for BCFE or something. We want you to have a good footing there before you dive into Advanced Windows Forensics.
Nice. And then the
course itself is how many years? I've been part of IASIS now for, 3 years. Has the course always been around, or is it pretty much recent, or what's the history with the course?
You know, that's a good question. I'd have to ask my chair, Ian Donovan, to be sure how long it's been around. But I know it's one of the core trifecta of the CFCE and mobile device forensics, and it's been around for years and years and years. And it's fun to hear about all the people that have been involved with it over the years. And when you hear about that, it's a big responsibility to represent the program well, you know. And I think there's, especially with how many mobile phones we do these days, there's a deep love of getting back to computers and what those things are like, the different variety of artifacts. It's a lot of fun, and it's been an honor to be part of the team for the last 2 years.
2 years. So you've been on it 2 years. Yeah, I've been in this business. I say it every podcast. Everybody knows I've been around a long time. And of course, you know, the bread and butter was always computers. It was always Windows. Okay, you know, Mac came around, whereas we had enough Macs to work on. And of course, cell phones come around, and that's been the majority of the cases. But I know, you know, when I first started, everything was Windows based forensics. Every single thing just drilled in your head over and over
and over again. So it's good to see that the OG, you know, is coming back, and it's an advanced course.
So you have yourself, who's involved with the development and the instruction of the class. I'm not talking just the actual class itself. This is a year long process every year. So you could get into just development of the course. Obviously, every year it has to be updated. You know, it has to be modernized. It's a fluid business we're in, constantly evolving. Who's involved with the development and also the instruction?
Yeah. So most of the developers also help with instruction. One of the things we're trying to move towards is trying to have one instructor / developer shepherd a specific day and scenario along. Everything's been kind of rebuilt so that it's built around a practical. That's a lot more engaging type of teaching. I think people kind of expect that these days, right? And it's also great to show everyone that, you know, these things work, and we can show you why. Ian Donovan is the chair, and a couple other people have been involved for the last 2 years. So like about 2 years ago, we did a big reformat back to that practical format, changed over a lot of staff, and about the same time Windows 11 rolled around. So there was a lot of changes, and you went from the static Windows 10 that didn't really get that much earth shattering updates that often. To Windows 11, they're starting to push out lots of new stuff pretty quickly. And so then we've also had G. David Fry has been involved for the last couple of years, and he's done a lot of work with the built-in email things. We might talk about that more later. We've also had Will Persley as our internal QA guy. He helps us kind of look good. You know, we'd like to be that band that shows up at the recording studio and can nail it on the first take. You know, we don't want to have QA do a lot of work to fix our manuals and stuff like that. So he goes through all that for us. Last year, we brought on Garrison Urey with the IRS, and he's been doing great. He's a great instructor that brings a lot of experience teaching like accounting type stuff. But obviously, this is a lot more fun than accounting. And
unless you're an accountant.
If you asked him, I think he'd tell you he likes teaching computer stuff better, but yeah. We've just added Morgan Hutchinson. It's going to be the first year for Morgan. And also on the certification end of things, we got that kind of compartmentalized at IASIS. I don't think everybody kind of realizes that the teaching and the development are two different sides of the house compared to the certification committee. And so Bert Kaminick is the certification chair for the Advanced Windows Forensics program.
Okay. The course itself, I don't want to talk in, well, I guess, is it considered 1 week or is it a 2 week course?
It's a 1 week class.
Okay.
I would say it's probably one of the more challenging certifications to earn. Is the flip side of that, it's not as evolved. It's not a 5 month process, you know, like the CSE is, but the class itself is a 1 week class. I think we're almost sold out for 2025 already. I know we're looking at increasing the size of the class, and I guess we'll see how things go. Last year was pretty popular, and everyone was pretty happy with how things went. So, obviously that's what we want to see, and hopefully, as there's more and more interest, we can increase the offerings and go from there. Yeah.
Nice. Now, you did mention a certification. With a certification comes obviously a test. So what is the testing process? What can future students expect when after taking the course?
Sure. Yeah. So if you've done mobile device, it's going to be a kind of a similar type of thing. If you're a first time certificate candidate, there'll be a practical with an image and then a written knowledge test. For research, it's just going to be the written test. And those are all new for this year. So if you've been a longtime coffee certificate holder, you're going to see a lot of different new test questions. We're definitely glad to see that what we've got going for course materials is being offered to staff, I think. And it's also available for anyone else to take online as well. It's in the products page. So great options. I know it can be really frustrating sometimes if you're part of staff that you don't get to take some of the classes in person, but I think this is a great way to handle that middle ground, you know, give them the chance.
Yeah, and that's a great thing. You know, Brent Whale, the vice president of IASIS, has done is offering these courses, the staff, to the volunteers to take these courses because you're working the hallways, you're teaching the whole time. It's I think that's a great benefit. Obviously, I've talked about this many times on previous podcasts. We're going to get back to the actual class in a minute, but let's get into the meat potatoes for our viewers/listeners. You talked about, you know, Windows 10, I guess what you said was pretty much static, and then it got a little more fluid with 11. Let's do some broad trends. Let's not get into the minutiae or anything, but what are some broad trends you are seeing in Windows, the operating system, and of course us as forensic examiners, what we have to, I want to say deal with, what we have to work with.
Yeah. So Microsoft has definitely changed the pacing of the release. When I took WFE, actually, so I did BCFE actually in 2019. And then I think I did WFE when it was just WFE in 2021. And that was probably one of the last years where the first thing they taught us was Windows 10 is the last version of Windows. Because that was Microsoft's mantra, you know, yep. We're not going to update this thing forever. It is what it is. But then a couple of years ago, they changed their minds. And I love it or hate it, Windows 11 is here. And they're pushing out updates a lot faster than they used to. Some of those things have been a little bit easier to work with. A lot of the databases that we're looking at are SQLite. So if you're used to the mobile phones, SQLite is a place where you're going to feel pretty comfortable pretty quick. We're also conscious of in the class that we don't want to, make the class deaf by SQLite. We're not going to just hammer that to death. We're going to have a lot of variety, but definitely SQLite. And then also some of the, especially like AI type based services are being funneled through like secure Chrome/Edge web extensions. So they're a little bit trickier to track down, but they're doing that for their, privacy purposes. That's what everybody's worried about. This AI stuff, what's the scope of it? And that kind of leads me to the last one, which is you're starting to see the AI integration, especially the Copilot in Windows.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You mentioned that. That's funny you mentioned that. That, you know, Windows 10 was the finale. Here we go. But I guess a lot of people at Microsoft either are Elton John fans or fans of the band Kiss, because they're let's do one more tour. You know, the farewell tour. How many farewell tours can you have? You know, so they if the money's there, well, you know, why
stop?
So yeah.
So that's something that they always say. Well, this is it. No, it's never it. It's never it. Not when your competitor keeps on going, keeps on trucking type thing. The advanced WFE course, is it tailored towards law enforcement, or is it for anybody who does our line of work?
It has something for everybody. Is the answer to that. There's definitely a lot of things for law enforcement examiners maybe you haven't had the chance to take a deep look at before. If you're looking at, moving into more instant response type stuff in the private sector, there's going to be some good stuff for you there. And then if you are already doing something to do with, cybersecurity or instant response, we're going to dive a little bit deeper on some of the things that maybe you're used to looking at, but you've never looked at them the same way we have before. And I think for everybody, there's probably going to be something they haven't considered before or a different angle on it that will be worth their time for sure.
Okay, nice. And then the BCFE course, the two-week course, the boot camp course that IASIS offers, obviously goes into NTFS. Okay. Do you guys you guys are going to do a deeper dive into it than what BCFE offers, correct? And nothing against BCFE. It's just, you got 2 weeks to teach. It's a, you're drinking from a fire hydrant in that course. So you guys do a more in depth.
Right.
I get you to say, right?
Yeah. When you make it through BCFE, you don't want to hear anything more about attributes for a while, but then got about 4 more months of hearing about attributes is the truth of it, right? With the CFCE process. But, there is some really good stuff that, you don't have the time to dig into. One of the things that I like a lot is, I remember going through the certification process for CFCE, and I do searches for, this keyword or that file or that master file, table record, whatever. And you'd hit on these other artifacts. It's like, that's not the MFT. I don't care about it. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't matter. So a lot of those are going to be like log file, which is another one of the NTFS metadata files that contains a lot of low-level journaling data. Can point to some locations on the disk where the file used to be at. Gives you a good record of recent changes to it. It's a lot more granular than the USN journal. it's really great. And then another example of that too is, you know, when you're looking at these files, you've got the, you know, index root attribute, for example, which they, you don't have the chance to dig into that with BCFE, but really what that is when you compare how FAT file systems have the directory entries, then that's how, you know, files are organized within their directories and indexed. With index root, it uses a B-tree indexing scheme that's a lot more efficient. And it's a scheme that like a lot of databases use these days too. So it's not just for Windows. Some of these things are good pieces of knowledge just to have in general.
That's good and interesting. Let me circle. I'm taking notes the whole time we're here. So if I circle back to things, please don't mind me, and I apologize for that. Windows 10, I believed, had a timeline feature. Okay, that we could look at. Is Windows 11?
Yeah,
still have it.
Yeah, that's still around. It's quietly recording data, I guess, for us, because the user can't see it anymore. So it's just for digital forensic examiners.
Okay.
But it's interesting. They're going to be replacing it with something called Recall pretty soon. And Recall is a good example of one of those rapid new developments. And the goal is going to be like, hey, you know, what was I doing on my computer last Sunday at 5 o'clock? You know, whatever I was working on then, I really need to dig back into that. So you could just go right back into your computer, pull up last Sunday at 5 o'clock and get that going. And I think it's going to even potentially have like a cloud-based architecture to it, which is definitely, I mean, that takes us back to the beginning. A lot more web-based services with Windows. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. And where this track data ends up at. For now, a lot of it's still on the host. So, yeah.
All right, let's since we're talking about old features on Windows, I professionally I use Windows machines. Personally, I use Macs. I just like it mostly, and I'll tell you why is because of NCFI, the National Computer Forensics Institute. You know, back in the day, they just threw Macs at you like it was water. So I just tend to, and then they aged out, and you know, obviously as they age out, they become part of your inventory if your department doesn't need them. So I personally use the whole Apple line. I know from your green texts, you know, you're a Droid user, but that's fine. Well, that's a whole other podcast. I forgive you for that. But you know, Mac has the Time Machine. Does Windows have any sort of backups that we could explore, that we could get into? And also, real quick, I do a Chihuahua and Beagle warning. You hear a little squeaking. My Chihuahua has entered the room, but other than that, you should be good. Kyle usually does a great job of editing for out. But anyway, getting back to it, does Windows have anything of a backup system quite like the Time Machine feature on a Mac?
Yeah, it does. But first, I'll thank you because Apple finally fixed their text messaging, so it works out.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is nice. Yeah, your videos aren't that big anymore. It is nice that we allow the little people, to join the cool crowd. But yes, So Windows backup. Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's a bunch of stuff. You know, a lot of things people are probably familiar with. From, you know, you got the backup and restore the file history. There's, you know, that file called windows.old when your computer upgrades. We talk about that a little bit, but I think the one that is the most interesting is with volume shadow copies. Your Windows computer is making those in the background at different significant points in time, but then you know, the user can also trigger it by making restore points, things like that. So what we can do with that is you can actually mount those and image that. And what you get from that is, when your forensic, depending on the forensic tool, when it examines the evidence drive and it's, you know, looking to carve data, when it sees these volume shadow copies, sometimes it might just be trying to carve data like it would from unallocated space, things like that. But you have to understand this is a differential backup. So what that means is that it only really means what it represents if it is laid on top of a baseline image. And the differences from that baseline are taken into account. So you can actually mount that volume shadow copy as a shortcut in image. And so that's that can be, walking back in time. I think we've probably all had cases where people have deleted stuff or changed things before, it was seized. And so it's a great tool.
Oh, that is good. That is something I did not know. And that is that I have actually noted. And of course the dogs are gone. Both the dogs are gone.
I can't hear it from here.
Good. All right. Great. Let's encrypted files in new window. Is there a way to decrypt them?
Yeah. So Windows, everybody wants to, breathe a sigh of relief. It doesn't use file-based encryption like Macs do, right? But probably I would suspect mostly in corporate environments, things like that, where you've got some kind of intellectual property or confidential data, you're going to potentially see the EFS, the encrypting file system that's built into Windows used. And that is a file-based encryption scheme. Unlike BitLocker, obviously BitLocker's full disk, not as strong. But one of the things you can do, at least if you can recover the suspect's credentials, is you can successfully decrypt these EFS encrypted files. That's one of the things we talked about in the class. It's probably one of the more complicated things that we do. You really get into the nuts and bolts of how these asymmetrical encryption schemes work and what all the factors that you have with the construction of the public and private encryption keys. And we get into a little bit of encryption in this class, that's for sure.
Okay. Oh, awesome. Awesome. And I had another note here, and it dawned on me. Getting back to the changes, Microsoft updated, of course, evolved their OneDrive. Artifacts in a OneDrive before to now, has anything changed with that?
Yeah, so it's better.
I'm okay. Nice.
One of the things that we talk about
that usually doesn't go our way.
No,
in this line of work, that's refreshing.
Well, yeah, so it's a theme for sure in advanced Windows forensics, especially in one of the days that I'm the lead on is metadata, which, we throw that term around a lot, but when you get back to the nuts and bolts of it, it's about data, right? And with OneDrive, they've got a lot of tracking built into what data is being synchronized with the cloud to the host. Yep. From file name, path, size. There's even, it's a newer cryptic, non-cryptographic hashing scheme called Quick XOR Hash. So it gives you the Quick XOR Hash. It's not necessarily as reliable as an MD5 or anything like that, but you have some level of assurance the file is similar. And so you can actually rebuild the entire file structure of what's being synchronized. And then the logs are great too, because they show when things are being synchronized. And you can track that. So it's another one of those tools where you can step back in time and see what went where and when and what it was.
Okay. And you brought up everybody's favorite topic when it comes to the modern Windows forensics, and that's going to be the BitLocker. Can you do a RAM analysis? A memory dump, I guess you could say. Can you pull the BitLocker, the encryption key from a memory dump, from RAM analysis?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that is great about this class too. We dive into some of the things that you can do with memory analysis. You barely get to scratch the surface on that with BCFE.
Yeah,
and So we do an introduction to volatility, but we've also got some other memory tools that we'll talk about. And some of the tools are really great at if you've got a live system that you've got a memory dump on, and for whatever reason you don't have that encryption key backed up. If you have a memory dump from a BitLocker encrypted system while it's unlocked, we can get back into that pretty easily. The encryption key's in there, and that's one of the things we'll show you in the class.
Okay, because that's near and dear to my heart, anybody's heart. You know, if you have a BitLocker encrypted laptop, we can crack it, correct?
So, yeah. So BitLocker, or, and you know, actually the process is, from our point of view, trying to crack it, really similar to File Vault on the Mac side of the world. If you hear the words BitLocker or File Vault, it's not game over yet in terms of brute forcing it. Game over is when you hear the words TPM or T1, T2.
Oh, absolutely. I know that, right? Oh my goodness. Yeah. And trying to explain that to the submitting parties when I tell them, and obviously they don't know what I'm talking about when I mention those, you know, letters and numbers. That, but for us, I'm like, sorry, you brought her all the way down here.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
So So what we can do is we can take the disk image, as long as it doesn't have one of those special security processors you just mentioned. What we can do is we can take that image, and there are different tools out there. BitLocker to John is the BitLocker one. I think it's APFS to Hashcat on the Mac side of the world for File Vault. But you can rip that password hash out and brute force it with Hashcat. And it actually had a pretty cool case recently where that worked. We had the guy's password hint was Alcatel Coda. And he wasn't native, but so I did some Googling. And Alcatel is a cell phone provider in India.
Okay.
And Coda is a city in India. And it's like, well, I bet it's a phone number. And so we just ripped the hash out and brute force it. And sure enough, it was an Indian phone number, was the passcode for the computer. So yeah, it works. It's a real deal. And even with TPM, things are getting more advanced. With some of the older implementations of TPM, there are people out there who have had some luck sniffing the signals coming off the TPM security processor to decrypt the drive.
Oh wow.
But you know, but some manufacturers are already working to you know, counter this. Mac's a good example. So the M series security processor, I think, is on the actual CPU. So there's no way you're gonna be able to sniff that on the way back. Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Thank you. Talking about password hints, I cracked one last week. I did not crack one last week. I got the password hint, and I contacted people familiar with the person. But hey, what's his password hint? Me to you, and that was a success. Now that was pretty much, you know, old school detective work. You know, not just, you know, in my lab doing, you know, nerd stuff. I actually had to.
You can't rule it out. Can't rule it out.
Yeah, no, you can. No, it's yeah. You the little, you know. Sometimes you still have the gumshoe. Everything, you know. You gotta hit the streets, if you will.
I don't know how many body camera videos I've tried to watch looking for how did they enter their PIN or their
pattern.
And,
yeah,
yeah.
I've looked at cell phones before, and I mean, never successful. But looking at the fingerprints on the actual screen itself, and of course, you know, it was a 6-digit thing. You're still, the combination is still crazy. But hey, you know, you if you never try, you're always gonna fail. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Michael Scott quoted that from Wayne Gretzky, the TV show The Office.
Or is it?
So
okay. So I wasn't sure if that was Wayne Gretzky or Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan. I think all those people have been attributed, but you're probably right.
Yeah, I just know Michael Scott quoted it one time. So, I think it's a Wayne Gretzky quote. Ben, you're obviously passionate about Windows. You're obviously knowledgeable about Windows.
what are some of your favorites? If you had to pick, old or classic window artifacts or new window artifacts, or even Windows features, what would those be? What's that?
So I think the newest ones that I try to sell to examiners is one that you can examine for, but you can also use yourself, and that's Windows Sandbox. When I originally heard that there's this Windows Sandbox feature, I hadn't tried it yet. I assumed it was complicated because it sounds like it probably is. It sounds like it's some kind of a complicated development environment or something, but it's actually really simple. You just install the feature on your computer, and it creates a really lightweight virtual machine based on the current operating system you got installed on your computer. So it's going to boot up faster than anything you've got in Hyper-V or whatever other virtual machine hypervisor you've got going. And every time you open it, it's just a basic bare bones Windows Enterprise with just about Edge installed, and that's about it. You can modify what all it does when it boots up with scripts. And we talk about some of those options, but then also as soon as you delete it, the space that data is stored at on the disk is completely zeroed out, and there's nothing recorded on disk where the virtual machine was stored at while it was live. And so that makes sense from the perspective of, when Microsoft was looking to do this, make this feature so you could test out files and make sure they were safe before you put them on the actual host without using a virtual machine. So that makes sense because they don't want to infect your computer with the virtual machine. But, you definitely go down a road of thinking, well, what if the bad guys figured this out? So then you have a nightmare scenario where maybe you've got a bad guy using Windows Sandbox to do stuff in Chrome with private browsing enabled. And it's like, wow, that's... sounds like you're operating with impunity, but we still found a way to pull some artifacts out of that. And so I'll just leave that hook out there.
Right. Yeah, the little bit is free, but if you want more, you gotta. Yeah, I understand that. No, that's you got to get behind the paywall. Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Unless you're starved, in which case, volunteer.
That's true. Yeah. Join up.
Yeah, that's we're not a gang. There's no gang initiation here.
Join the staff. Before we get into all things Ben Lord and all things Iowa, what other, if you have any more closing remarks about the class, any new features or artifacts, anything that AWFE covers. I just want to make sure because I'm so used to saying WFE.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, AWFE. What else are you guys, what other tidbits and parts of that are you guys covering?
Yeah, so we've got new sections on Prince Fuller, which, I mean, that's not necessarily everybody's, a main source of excitement, but it can be pretty important for a lot of the corporate cases and stuff like that. That has changed, and I'm not sure if anybody else out there has got this material out yet. So it's good to know. We've got a DOH. That's another Windows feature that's relatively new. So that's DNS over HTTPS, so that can obscure the user can obscure what domains they're browsing to, is essentially the result of that. So that could actually be another corporate thing that could be pretty interesting if you're supposed to be filtering what your people are doing. We've also got some of the apps built into Windows, like Clipchamp. That's the new video maker for Windows that comes baked into it. They bought a company called Clipchamp, and there's also the Photos app, which has kind of gone through a few different generations. And believe it or not, the current generation that came out a year or two ago, approximately, I can't remember the exact date, it actually, within the directories it tracks, it is tracking all the metadata about those files in those directories, even as they change. So it's kind of like OneDrive. You've got some file history going on, which is great metadata. And yeah, the Edge is also, you know, that's close to my favorite.
What is your favorite?
Oh, I know my favorite is Sandbox, but Edge is my second favorite. And I can already hear, you know, G David from the AWFE team breathing a sigh of relief because he loathes Edge. And I just want to let you know, G David, I have Edge installed on Windows. I've got it installed on my Linux computer. I've got it installed on my Mac. It's everywhere. But yeah, if they have it turned on, you can actually see thumbnails of their browsing history, which, you know, it's been the case for a little while that if you've got cached media files related to internet browsing, you know, the argument is, did they really see it or not? Well, now we actually have some snapshots of what they saw. So all that stuff is back on the table. So great stuff.
Good. Excellent. And I'm just going to throw this out here.
Do you have any advice for Chromebooks whatsoever when you don't have the password or the email?
You need a Gmail warrant?
Sweet.
Yeah. I tell that to the school systems, and you know, I'm like, you're,
thanks for giving it to me here. Let me give it right back to you.
So I'm trying to remember. I think if you're the first user on a Chromebook is always the admin user, right? I've tried to tell our school districts that, like, if you have an IT account, yeah, configure yours first, and I think the subsequent ones are the ones that you want to be able to have access to. So yeah, hopefully we'll have some more luck on that front soon.
Yeah, whenever I get a Chromebook, I'm just like, all right, well, this is a quick turnaround for me. You know, I obviously do the due diligence that we have to put in our notes, but
you know what though, you never know. So we got one of these things, a Quest,
yep,
and a Quest 2, just like this one actually, and we were able to get an extraction off of it using mobile device tools, which was very impressive. So. You never know. I don't know.
Yeah, you just keep on trying. But I always ask, it's one of those things that I always ask, hey, if you know anything about Chromebooks, I don't know. And it's always, for the most part, that's why they probably don't have a week-long class on Chromebook forensics. So that would be a very quick class.
Well, and then once you get into it, there's really just...
No, a very tutorial place. Maybe, yeah, exactly. Everything's cloud-based. But But God willing, people still submit them, and you gotta do your due diligence on that. So, all right, let's stop talking computer forensics for a minute, digital forensics for a second. I have in my notes real quick, and I want to get this in the top.
I'm digging that flannel you have on, man. I know it's flannel season. That's sharp.
I wouldn't say it screams Iowa, but it definitely screams Iowa right there. You're going to the food mart. You're going to the corn harvest festival.
It's Hy-Vee here. That's our grocery store.
Hy-Vee, yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, Hy-Vee, and then the corn harvest, the pumpkin patch, the whole thing. You put a little fleece vest maybe over it if it's going to get a little too chilly, and you're rocking it. You got the beard going. It's autumn in Iowa. It's autumn in Iowa.
It's beautiful.
Lawrence, Iowa. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, we're having a perfect weather here. I mentioned this 2 years ago when we talked. South Carolina, we get 3 months of excruciating weather, 9 months of perfect weather. It's 70s during the day and then drops down to the 40s at night. You can't beat it. We maybe get like a month and a half, 2 months of winter, of cold temperatures.
Or a hurricane, right?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So we had one of those. Yeah, we had one of those this year. I was fortunate enough. I only had a power loss for a weekend. I got out all the camping equipment. My wife was not as excited about it as I was, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. So, and I had the hurricane equipment. Since we're a hurricane state, and we have a hurricane response, the back of my car has nothing but camping equipment, because if you had to respond to the coast, you're kind of on your own for a while. So everything, all mobile camping equipment we have. So, and of course, gas grill. I got a Blackstone on the deck and stuff. So and you got to cook the food. I mean, it's either you eat it or it goes bad. So we were
fortunate here, a little west of us, of course, North Carolina, the Western North Carolina. That's a whole other story. We were fortunate where we were with that one. But so Iowa, I remember last time we talked, you guys, I know you're a hockey fan, correct? Because you guys have a minor league team right near you that you go to Michigan for games too.
So my wife's from Michigan. We've got a couple of minor league affiliates of the Wild here. I'm also a big Iowa State Cyclone fan, which is great because right now our football team and our men's basketball team are actually both ranked top 10 right now, which is
awesome.
Is great.
Look at that. So,
yeah.
Awesome. My college, University at Buffalo, beat Northern Illinois to beat Notre Dame. So
it's like you guys fan Notre Dame. Yeah.
We are better. We are better than Notre Dame.
So we lost the last game. So where I think we're 4-3, but we're two games away from getting to the bowl, or at least a bowl. We'll be in the Bahamas Bowl or I think the, who else do we have? Maybe the Motor City Bowl. And then, of course, the famed Potato Bowl. You can't go wrong with Boise, Idaho in January or late December. I mean, that's what college kid wouldn't want to go there in late December, but a bowl's a bowl. And then, of course, my Buffalo Bills. We just got back from, obviously, as everybody knows, I'm from Western New York. I just went to my first Bills game in probably 27 years. They won that game. That was a fun time. Now that the Bills are winning, not as many people are jumping onto tables that are lit on fire. We didn't see any of that, but I think that's become
the entertainment's in the game now and not so much in the parking lots. People aren't as bored with the winning. So
Ben, I know you're a sergeant with your department, correct? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then I know you're an ICAC investigator, or you run the ICAC, or you do all things ICAC, right? As well as obviously other duties.
Yeah, I would say for the most part, my day to day is ICAC and digital forensic stuff, right? We've got a task force here where we've got five people all together from local agencies on a full-time task force. And I'm still suckered into the rotating general on-call rotation sort of thing.
Absolutely.
But it's kind of good. It's good to get out, remember what the rest of things look like. And my county here is got a lot of variety. I'm an Iowa State guy, but I actually work on the University of Iowa campus, our rival, and we've got everything from, university downtown campus to beaches and lake recreation areas to Amish country. So, I feel sometimes like this is a little bit of everything. So
a little bit of everything. And then you got gambling's legal. You guys have casinos in Iowa, correct? Or is that
just
certain places?
Yeah, they're strict about how many. But gambling is a thing. A lot of our college athletes got from Iowa and Iowa State got hung up, but now there's been some lawsuits back and forth because I'm not sure I wasn't involved in this at all. So I don't know, not involved. But apparently some of the investigative techniques to figure out who was betting on who weren't necessarily kosher. We'll see how that shakes out, I guess. But
I was in a Iowa casino, and I never thought I'd say these words. I was in an Iowa casino 3 years ago, maybe four, 3 years ago. And I put $10 on the Bills to win it all. They didn't win anything. But I still have the ticket. And I also put it on the Buffalo Sabres to win it all, $10. And they didn't win it. But at least I have the commemorative souvenir from an Iowa casino right over the border from Nebraska. I was going to Nebraska because my college was playing the Cornhuskers. And, of course, they lost that game. It was nothing. There was no victory that weekend whatsoever. But, hey, memories. And I got the two slips of paper that show that I did not win the bets. So...
Ben, do you have any closing remarks? I know I told you this morning when I texted you it was Ben Lord Day, and that was before I saw that IASIS splattered you all over the internets and all over social media, because you are the face of the Will Dawkins scholarship. So I texted you that, and then I saw everything on social media that they're throwing your picture around everywhere. I was like, it really is Ben Lord Day.
Yeah, I'm sure you had nothing to do with that.
No, because the podcast, even though we're all under the marketing umbrella, the podcast team has nothing to do with the social media team. Those are, we want to talk about the umbrella and everything. We are two different. We are a different river from that. And that's I think only our director, Dubin Medora, knew that I was interviewing you today. I let him know. And then, of course, Kyle, the brains of the whole thing, he knew, but the social media team did not know that. So that's pure coincidence. It's in the stars. We had, Rory Borealis coming down to the lower 48, and now everything, all the stars aligned today for Ben Ward. So, Ben, do you have anything? We're good. We did great on time today. Do you have anything else? Closing out,
Advanced Windows Forensic Examiner. If you want to touch base on Will Dawkins, I know that's a big thing. Whatever you got.
Sure.
Say it.
Yeah, do it. Do AWFE. It's great. And then with Will Dawkins, I've had the chance to meet some people that knew him before he passed away. And I've heard he was a fantastic guy. So it's a huge honor. Don't be afraid to put in for that scholarship, because it's, I think it's a lottery, and there's not usually that many people that put in for it. So if you got any doubt, throw your name in the hat. It's worth it. I know for me, I'm not sure how things would have gone for me at my agency with digital forensics if it not for that scholarship. It's made a huge difference and a big impact. And then AWFE, great stuff, taking it to the next level. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Awesome. And real quick, back on the Will Dawkins scholarship, the parameters for it are pretty strict. So that lessens the pool of applicants, because you have to be from a small department and a small shop, right? You cannot be like a major state agency with a group of 20 people. You got to be, I don't want to say small town, but you got to be small town.
Well, yeah.
A lone wolf to put in for it.
We don't want anybody associated with like the state of South Carolina or anything putting in for this.
I think that's the way it read. It was like everybody but South Carolina.
No, and to me, it's great, because I think more and more law enforcement agencies are catching on that, this is something that we need to get on board with, because there's more and more stuff happening in the cyberspace that is a threat to our children. The bad guys are sneaking to our house, and they're getting close with our kids, and it's bad stuff. And if there's one thing I could definitely be a proponent of, is trying to push the administrative willpower to get a digital forensics program going, because it's so important these days, and doing it the right way is really important too. You can't just wing it. No, you don't want to just have, your drug unit has a Celebrate UFED they pass around, and you get the
change
route. It's horrible. That's not what you want. So this is a great investment, so you actually can get the best training for your people.
That is good. All right, Ben. Everybody, Ben Lord. All right. Iowa, United States. Ben, we'll see you in maybe another 2 years. We'll get you back. You're going to be like the Alec Baldwin on Saturday Night Live. We'll make you a five-time guest, and we'll maybe make you a trophy or something like that for that. So
as long as I'm not the Alec Baldwin that got replaced by Harrison Ford in the Jack Ryan series.
No, never. So, all right, Ben, good to talk to you. Everybody, Ben Lord, all right? Ben, great to see you. Great to talk to you again. We'll be hollering off channel.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Les.